This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
As usual, in the last few weeks, every time we do a brand new episode of the Paracast, we have weird things happening with Skype. And there are two versions of Skype that are currently active. There's a Skype 8 and there's a Skype 7. What happens here with Skype 8 is that a lot of things don't work on it. Get bad connections, you can't use normal features, so we use something called Skype 7.5 or something thereabouts, and that is considered a classic version of Skype, which is why I call it that way. It's 7.5.8 for the Mac. And what Microsoft is going to do, at least they're trying to do something which is decent, which is a rare thing in terms of software, but what Microsoft is going to do is continue to offer the older versions of Skype for a while. So people like us who want to do real radio shows and have really solid connections can do it. That's about as much technology as we do here. Our technology show, The Tech Night Out Live, will possibly cover this in more detail in the next episode. In the meantime, Randall is our weekly co-host again, J. Randall Murphy. And we welcome Nigel Watson from the UK.
Hi. Hello.
I just wonder, with the way the politics are going, whether the UK even wants to talk to Americans anymore.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is a bit of a minefield, to say the least. I suppose a lot of it is because of Donald Trump's tweets, which seem to get people fired up about things. And we've got the British equivalent of Boris Johnson, who was always putting his foot in it as well. So... yeah, it's an inflammatory period in politics, really, with, I suppose, social media like this as well. I'll add fuel to the flame of controversy, really.
Well, his visit to the Queen there didn't go over all that well either.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, Randall has no problem. He's Canadian. And because he's right, Canadian, yeah. He's, of course, a preferred individual, so we don't have to worry about him. Nigel, I want to thank our mutual friend Tim Beckley for recommending that I bring you on the Paracast. He speaks very highly of you. And Tim, as many of us know, is kind of a co-producer of the show. He suggests guests every so often, gives us some interesting ideas about whom to talk to. And I was looking over the background for Nigel Watson, which is really fascinating because you've been involved in Fortean investigation, the paranormal, whatever, for many, many years. And it looks here like you got your BA degree in psychology. Does that mean you're really in the right field now?
Ufology got me interested in psychology because obviously there's a huge human factor in things like perception and how people report things. So it seemed a bit of a natural progression for me to sort of take an interest in it, and then I studied it as a degree option, really. And there, it does give you a bit more insight into how people perceive things and the different things that can affect people's view of things. I suppose a lot of subjects like this can be quite specialist, really. So I think it's a kind of like you can take a narrow focus and look at some aspects of ufology from using psychological knowledge. But, you know, I think it's down to the individual as well, of knowing something about people's background and, you know, lots of other factors as well. And I suppose if you look at the psychological angle, you don't really have to regard UFOs as spaceships or time travelers or anything like that. You can just look at it in terms of just human perception rather than as anything beyond that. Obviously, you know, Varayu vocates that stretch, just normal psychological explanation. So it was quite helpful and useful to look at that subject. And I think that's the thing with ufology. It can lead people into studying astronomy or even, you know, ancient history because of the ancient astronaut theories. So I think ufology can open up lots of other areas for people to study further. And, you know, that's kind of what I like about the subject. In fact, you can, you know, explore it further, you know, from and whatever you're interested in, you can kind of follow those lines of inquiry. And I think there's still plenty of areas for people, you know, to explore that people have either ignored or are just virgin territory, you know.
One thing I find interesting here is the comparison between the UFO field in America, and I'm barely part of that, I guess. Of course I am, you know. And the UFO field in the UK, when I bring on people like you, Nigel, and Philip Mantle and other people, I find a much more enlightened view, that you're willing to look at a very much wider picture, and maybe that's why the Fortean Times is British, isn't it? Looking at a lot of strange things are going on, not just strictly concerned with spaceships, not just strictly concerned with individual causes of the phenomenon, but the possibility there's an interrelationship between the things that go bump in the night, near-death experiences, abductions, people seeing UFOs, not that they aren't real. But that we are in some ways participants in the phenomenon, not just seeing things in the sky and recording them, but a lot closer. You get where I'm coming from?
Yeah, ironically, a lot of us were inspired by the writings of John Keel, you know, the American journalist and, you know, writer of things like Operation Trojan Horse and, you know, the Mothman prophecies. And he kind of opened up the subject to a wider a viewpoint beyond the extraterrestrial theory. And he wrote a lot in Flying Saucer Review before his books came out in the sort of 1970 onwards. And I think because he looked at the folklore of in relation to UFOs and that sort of area, and just taking it beyond the extraterrestrial nuts and bolts theory, I think that inspired a lot of British people, because it was in, you know, the premier UFO magazine, which was Flying Saucer Review. And also there were other people like Jacques Vallée and his Passport to Magonia, and several other writers in Britain who looked at you know, the ancient past and stories in folklore, and compared, you know, stories of little people and fairy rings and that sort of thing, and related them to the UFO phenomenon, and to show that there might be a continuous thing that for, you know, literally centuries we've been seeing strange things in the sky, and even entities and, you know, other rumours associated with things in the sky. So it's not a completely new thing. And I think also John Keel inspired a lot of us in England to look at old newspaper files to rediscover the airship sightings in 1909 and 1913, where people saw odd things in the sky and interpreted them as German airships coming to survey our country in preparation for an invasion. So, you know, I think with that perspective in mind, we tend to look at some American ufology as being a bit too literal and too, you know, spaceship orientated.
If you're a Paracast Plus member, we'll also be featuring Tim Beckley with J. Randall Murphy on this weekend's episode of After the Paracast. Go to plus.theparacast.com for more information. You have a lot more to talk about with Nigel Watson. Our weekly co-host is J. Randall Murphy. You're in
the Paracast.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Let's talk tough. Let's talk comfort. Let's talk about down home value. Made in the USA blue jeans, like you wore as a kid. Remember?
There's a place down in Tennessee where they make blue diamond gusset jeans. They show pride in every stitch. Guarantee you love the way they fit. They put a diamond gusset in the crotch where you need it most. Blue diamond gusset's got it. Others don't.
For good old-fashioned comfort, get diamond gusset jeans. Every stitch guaranteed. And our Defender motorcycle jean comes Kevlar reinforced. See them at GUSSET.com. That's gusset.com. Or call 888-848-7738. That's 888-848-7738. Diamond gusset jeans got it. Others don't.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Hey everyone, Proactive MD has an incredible offer for our radio listeners only. Stay tuned for our exclusive offer that includes a free charcoal pore cleansing brush and free shipping. Proactive MD with prescription strength adapalene can heal and prevent future breakouts. Today, for just $19.95, we're offering listeners the three-piece Proactive MD system with free shipping, plus a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. Get this exclusive offer by calling now, 1-800-583-8662, or go to proactive.com. And enter promo code radio. You heard right. Proactive MD plus free shipping and a free gift. The new charcoal pore cleansing brush. You'll get all this for just $19.95 and their 60-day money-back guarantee. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now. 1-800-583-8662. That's 1-800-583-8662. Or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. Again, go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio.
Healthcare reform is confusing. With the loss of the Obamacare mandate, those needing help can now choose an affordable alternative. By joining Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community of health-conscious Americans all over the country who control their own healthcare costs and choices. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It is an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share the cost of their medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Learn more now by going to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So Randall has decided that he will live in the world of echo, echo, echo. And I don't believe that we should respond to the word echo, echo, echo. It's like a canyon, echo canyon, canyon, canyon. It's not a bad echo. I was thinking that last week on After the Paracast, what we did with Randall is we made him sound like one of the chipmunks.
like Alvin.
All right.
Remember Alvin and the chipmunks?
Yeah.
Okay, so last week we made him sound like Alvin, and this week he's going to live in an echo. It's better than living in a bubble, let me tell you. It really is. But no, Randall is, I will say this publicly, without exception, this guy is great. And I'm so happy that he decided to work with us on the Paracast, but more importantly, that he's turning himself into a real radio broadcaster. Randall, I know, suck it up. You don't get any more compliments, okay? Suck it up.
Oh, that was good. You can just keep going as long as you want there, Gene. I'll just
go with what?
Wrap it all up. And,
yeah. What?
Actually, I've done previous interviews.
Anyway, with Nigel, the thing that interested me, of course, is that you have a very wide and balanced spectrum of interest in UFOs. And I'm looking at the books you started writing. So you've been interested in this subject, obviously, since before you got your degree. That takes us back to the 70s or something like that. You must have been like 2 years old.
I was a sort of teenager when man landed on the moon, and that's what sort of I got really interested in the subject of late 60s. And it was a sort of exciting time then when all the, you know, moon landings occurred and, you know, lots of theories about life out there. And things like Chariots of the Gods by Erich von Däniken was serialized in the sort of Sunday newspapers. So I sort of read everything I could about space exploration and, you know, which segued into UFOs, really. So it was a downward slope then. Oh, dear. Yeah, so I suppose that was the thing that back then I don't think there was such establishment support for, you know, the search for extraterrestrial intelligence. Even that was seen as rather, you know, on the margins of science. So it's interesting now that, you know, that is something more acceptable because of the discovery of exoplanets. There's far more effort being put into, you know, searching for any signals from outer space. But, you know, rather frustratingly, that's as hard to find as evidence for UFOs, really. So, you know, things then are still ongoing, really, and we've still got a lot of, you know, mysteries for us to explore.
As a psychologist, when you're describing the descriptions of what we'd call UFOs and aliens today by people in the past, do you think they were seeing the same things as we are today but didn't have the vocabulary we do? Or do you think they were actually seeing completely different types of things, like, you know, fairies, little people with wings, and, you know, gnomes with hats, or you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think people tend to interpret things in terms of their own, you know, social and cultural background, really. And so, you know, with the Phantom Airships, people were reading about real airships being developed by Zeppelin in Germany. So in a way, there's a kind of context of, oh, there's a light in the sky, so we automatically assumed it was a German Zeppelin. Or in America in 1896 and 97, there was this great airship scare there where people assumed it was the work of some secret inventor who'd been able to create this wonderful full flying machine that was flying over the States. And before that, say people saw a light in the sky and might interpret it as a sort of ghostly will-o'-the-wisp, or as an angel or a fairy. So I suppose the context of it is very much important with anything that's sort of ambiguous. And people, I suppose, at first we can't believe our own eyes, and then they have to kind of interpret it in terms of what, you know, what's going on, really. And it's quite interesting. Years ago, I saw something in the headlines of our local newspaper up in Scunthorpe, which said that radar picked up mystery signals and assumed it was illegal immigrants flying in to Lincolnshire, whereas only a few years before that, if there'd been a flying saucer wave going on or anything, people would have said, you know, it's mystery signals of a flying saucer. So sometimes it's context, you know, the context can affect people. I suppose some people interpret this as there is a sort of UFO intelligence which, you know, projects an image of itself in terms of what we can understand. So aliens in the past would, you know, portray themselves as fairies or things in fiery ships and things, you know, so that people would be able to grasp it. Otherwise, you know, people might not even be able to come to grips with it at all. Or there's the other point of view that there's quite a lot of phenomena, you know, things like as mundane as meteors or the moon or even stars or anything can look quite spooky in certain circumstances. So perhaps, you know, there's a lot of natural phenomena that could trigger sightings, not just now but in the past. But, you know, there again, you know, it's down to how people interpreted things. I find it fascinating also things like ball lightning, which is something else that's only just about being accepted by science, has got quite a lot of peculiar characteristics. And I think it's a good possibility that a lot of people who have reported UFOs have actually seen ball lightning. So, you know, in a way, if you look at UFO data, you can discover other rare phenomena in it. So, you know, I think it's worthwhile for scientists to look at this data.
In your book, you've got one of them that you wrote, UFOs of the First World War.
Okay,
so,
yeah.
So on the cover there, we see a, kind of a red triplane, this red baron type of thing. And then up above in the clouds, you can see there's this sort of massive looking saucer. So you know, would the pilot of the triplane look up and see a zeppelin, or would they see something that looks more like the picture and just only describe it as a zeppelin because they don't know what else to call it?
Yeah, I think that's it. I think a lot of the newspaper reports were of just lights in the sky, and but some people imagined there was a sort of dark, you know, body above the light. So in a way, you know, people can add features to something. And, you know, in the American airship scare, people saw things with all sorts of rotors and wings and flaps and things. So, but, you know, these were incredible things that didn't even look, you know, like any aircraft we've ever seen.
And Nigel Watson will continue with J. Randall Murphy and Gene Steinberger in
The Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. The New York Times says the top lawyer at the White House apparently had quite a bit to say to Robert Mueller's team as it looks into Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election. Don McGahn's the top lawyer for the White House, the legal point man for everything from judicial nominations to the Russia investigation. The New York Times reports McGahn's role in that has been complicated, not only helping plot the president's legal strategy, but also as a witness for special counsel Robert Mueller and a cooperative one at that. Leads that Mueller's investigation might not have had otherwise. Reacting from his New Jersey golf resort, the president tweeted he allowed McGahn and others to fully cooperate with the special counsel, including, as he frequently does, no collusion, no obstruction, witch hunt. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hamilton was adopted from a rescue in 2008. He really likes to be around people. I get out my mat and I'm doing a downward dog and he's underneath. He's quite the pug about town. He gets invited to a lot of parties. He knows he's a pretty big deal. Look at this little face. How does he not love him?
Hamilton the Pug, Instagram star, and shelter pet. Amazing adoption stories start in shelters. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I'm 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
So what's going to happen here is one day Randall's going to say, you know, I'm doing this so well. Maybe what I could do. I'm doing this so well. Maybe what I could do is just keep my voice in the echo all the time. It's going to be like a rock and roll singer. You know, rock and roll singers in the old days, back to Elvis Presley, they slapped his voice in echo. And you think, imagine talking that way all day long. Imagine if we had a built-in echo chamber. Okay?
They did.
With a voice box. And this way we could just do anything we want. I have a big question before we go on here about what we see and what's there. So you're suggesting, Nigel Watson, that at least in some cases, we have the lights in the sky or whatever, and that's quite often what we photograph, that we very rarely see detailed photos of UFOs, and then we are filling in the details. The phenomenon is working, screwing around with our subconscious?
Yeah, I think that can happen a lot, and also, you know, it's better to get a story from a person, you know, fairly soon after the sighting, because I think another thing is that people, you know, there's this element of contamination where people might start, you know, reading books and things and then kind of add more to their story. I think that might be a factor in something like the Betty and Barney Hill case, which is one of the most famous sort of early abduction cases, and they experienced missing time. But only within days of her experience, Betty Hill had got a book by Donald Kehoe, I think it was, and that got her sort of interpreting what had happened in terms of, you know, flying saucers and UFOs. So I think if it wasn't perhaps for her finding that book, you know, it just might have been a matter of just a few odd nightmares, and it might have just dissipated, really. But as it happened, her and Barney were still haunted by sort of nightmares about this missing time period until it led to hypnotic regression. So, you know, I think people can read a lot into something that can be quite simple, but, you know, obviously the Betty and Barney Hill case is quite a complex case anyway, so I think, you know, it's really hard to really get to the bottom of, you know, what really happens with a lot of these sort of classic abduction cases.
Well, this brings us to another good point for you. As a person with a degree in psychology, what do you think of hypnotic regression as a tool for investigation?
Well, funnily enough, in England, largely through the efforts of Jenny Randalls, who was head of the British UFO Research Association's investigation team back in the 70s, they kind of put a sort of voluntary ban on any hypnotic regression because they felt it was, you know, disturbing to try and bring back painful memories to people. And also it kind of, I think really we don't believe so much in the power of hypnotic regression. I think the problem is the human brain doesn't work like a tape recorder. It's far more quixotic than that, really. So, and also with hypnotic regression, if people can be asked leading questions, and it can be quite, so people can be putting words into witnesses' mouths, really. And so you probably don't get so many British abduction cases, you know, largely due to that. And also there are certain abduction cases where hypnotic regression hasn't been used and people have recorded things. But I think in terms of the Betty and Barney Hill case, it was done in terms of therapy and counselling, really, to help Barney over his nightmares. So in a way, that was trying to help them. Whereas I think the problem is ufologists can be a bit too enthusiastic just to sort of hypnotically regress people just to get out of, you know, data that they're eager to get out of, rather than to think about how this will affect the person who's had these experiences. Because I think particularly abduction instances.
So you were saying, in other words, that you think people who are investigating UFO reports or abduction reports might be less objective than a therapist who is simply trying to help their patient.
Yeah, I think that's right. And particularly worrying that some ufologists learned how to become hypnotists themselves, and I don't think it was really right to unleash unqualified people onto onto the public, really. And I think, you know, like I say, a lot of UFO encounters or abductions can be particularly traumatic instances, and people can experience nightmares and flashbacks and different things. And to bring in hypnotic regression doesn't necessarily drag out the true recall of what might have happened in a certain period of missing time. It might be just that, you know, the hypnotist has put words into the person's mouth, or it's just sent them just further into a kind of a fantasy zone where they might, imagine what might have happened in that missing period rather than what might have actually happened. I think there's several instances where people have said they've been abducted and they've been seen by people, outside observers, to see that they're actually sleeping or in some sort of fugue state. So I think that's something that's worth noting, that some of these...
Sorry to interrupt there. Can you elaborate on that a little bit? Are you saying that actually there was a separate person who is observing the person who was claiming to have an abduction experience,
yeah,
but they were right there and they were in sort of an altered psychological state?
Yeah. Well, I can't name one offhand. I think somebody did observe out of somebody like George Adamski, who's a sort of notorious contactee, and somebody said that, you know, when he had one of his experiences, they observed him actually sleeping. But I think that's an area that would be worth looking into, because often people who were supposed to have joined like fairy rings went into a fugue state and thought they were in the fairy ring for a few minutes or something, and then they came out of it, and it was like years later, you know, a sort of classic folk tale, really. And in a way, you know, it can equate with abduction cases where people have gone away and the time has kind of disappeared for them, and then until they come back to reality. But I think people can go into a fugue state, and that's probably what might have caused their own missing time and abduction experience. The only thing is, you know, in certain cases like Betty and Barney Hill, there was two of them, but there's usually, if there are two people who are abducted, they're usually separated when they're on board the craft, and also there tends to be a dominant one, in this case Betty, who are really keen on putting across the story, and then Barney was less keen on, you know, getting publicity. Same with the case of Calvin Parker and Charles Hickson, who, you know, were two fishermen. They encountered they saw something like a blue flashing light, and then they saw a fish-shaped UFO, and then three really strange-looking mummy-like entities came and grabbed them. But when they were taken inside the UFO, they were both separated. And afterwards, Calvin decided to stay quiet about it. He didn't want any publicity, as Charles was keen to get publicity and thought that, you know, we were going to get further extraterrestrial visitations, really. And I predicted that, you know, there would be mass UFO sightings and that sort of thing.
Nigel Watson, Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
I'm David Hall, founder of Diamond Gusset, where we're proud of our 100% grown and sewn American-made jeans. Whether you're out for dinner, working on the farm, or on the road, Diamond Gusset Jeans offers a full spectrum of styles and sizes for any occasion. To find yours, visit gusset.com. That's G-U-S-S-E-T.com. Our loyal customers enable us to continue sponsoring Liberty Media outlets like the one you're listening to. In Liberty, David Hall, Diamond Gusset Jean Company.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey Guy provides the lowest price filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
I'm David Hall, founder of Diamond Gusset, where we're proud of our 100% grown and sewn American-made jeans. Whether you're out for dinner, working on the farm, or on the road, Diamond Gusset Jeans offers a full spectrum of styles and sizes for any occasion. To find yours, visit gusset.com. That's G-U-S-S-E-T.com. Our loyal customers enable us to continue sponsoring Liberty Media outlets like the one you're listening to. In Liberty, David Hall, Diamond Gusset Jean Company.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book is from the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So we're talking about abductions involving two people, mentioning Betty and Barney Hill, and also Charles Hickson and Calvin Parker. That's the Pascagoula, Mississippi case. We've got a lot more to talk about, so we present once again our special guest, Nigel Watson.
So it seems to happen that when you get two people, it's kind of a bit frustrating because usually there's a dominant person involved. And I came across a similar instance in England where somebody called Paul Bennett, he was only 12 years old, but he was a dominant member of his group of friends, and once with one of his friends, he observed a sort of 12-foot-high green robot, like scooping up soil, and he was with his friend as well, and his friend said something like, "I think I saw it as well, but if Paul says that's what was there, I believe it was there," sort of thing. So,
well, that's interesting. You know,
yeah, so it's hard to pin down, really. And also, it's virtually impossible to get hold of people just a few minutes after anything like that and to separate them and get their separate stories. I think also people's memories change over time as well. And it's quite interesting as well. I was just looking at sightings in the 1970s, and a lot of them are sort of like weird, scaly creatures or things that look like werewolves or dwarf-like creatures. And there's a big variety of alien entities or things like robots and mummies. And whereas once you get into the 1980s, the kind of grey alien became very prevalent. You know, Whitley Strieber's Communion and the alien on the cover seems to dominate everything now. And so that might be a bit of social conditioning, whereas, you know, if people report an alien, it should conform to how, you know, other aliens have been reported. And so, you know, and I think films like Close Encounters of a Third Kind were important in sort of establishing, you know, the sort of spindly aliens with large heads, which have dominated the subject since.
You know, when you go back to things like hypnotic regression, I know that our old friend Kevin Randall co-authored a book about that. And I'm always suspicious, always concerned about the practice of using hypnosis for trying to get memories of something. So the concern I have here is if we have a practice of retrieving information that's questionable, then it makes the case suspect in many ways. And I know I've had assurances up and down and sideways that hypnotic regression under proper conditions can be a valuable way of recalling forgotten or repressed information. And maybe that's good for psychologists and everything. Maybe they're trying to find evidence of some kind of trauma, but not a trauma meeting aliens, but maybe an attack or something like that, or a rape, as a matter of fact. Something like that where they're trying to do good things, but you can't take that as literal testimony. No. It's just a research tool. And if you're trying to say this is evidence that they met E.T., well, maybe they remember it that way, but there's no guarantee that whatever they interacted with is E.T.
No. I think the thing is, though, if somebody has a traumatic encounter or traumatic episode in their life, in fact, aliens might be covering something realistic, something else that might have happened, you know, a sort of near-death experience or something. You know, more earthbound, and we're kind of covering it up with stories of aliens and things. So, you know, and I think the problem is with things like lie detector tests as well. If somebody firmly believes in something, you know, they might, you know, they'd pass a lie detector test, but that doesn't mean to say it's real. You know, perhaps if you ran a lie detector test on somebody who believes the earth is flat, would come out of it as being truthful, but that doesn't make the earth flat or global, does it? You know, so I think using hypnosis is another thing where it's, you're just bringing in something, as exotic as UFOs to examine as a subject which is already quite cloudy, if you know what I mean. So, you know, I think you're just muddying the waters with hypnotic regression. I think as well, well, some people might welcome it, but I think some people, like, I think with Charles Hickson and Calvin Parker, they were hypnotically regressed not long after their encounter, and they were too traumatized to go through hypnosis and were terminated it quite quickly. So I think it's using human minds and emotion can be quite, you know, is quite powerful, really. And so I think you've got to be more careful and not to be too keen on just collecting evidence.
You know, something interesting here, but just as coincidental. 2 weeks from now on the Paracast, we'll be featuring Calvin Parker. His book out, published by Philip Mantle. And I think that leads us to questions we should be asking him, don't you think?
I think, because he was hypnotically regressed by Bud Hopkins. And it's great that this book that's just come out by Parker actually has a transcript of that hypnotic regression. It'd be interesting to see if he thinks it actually relates to some missing time episode he had, how realistic it is, or whether it's just a kind of fantasy to fill the void, you know. And when I was reading about it, I was just wondering that he and Charles Hickson were very traumatized, and when they were interviewed by the sheriff's office, they obviously they didn't seem like people making up a story. They genuinely seemed like they'd had some really powerful experience, whatever it was. And I was just wondering if it could have perhaps been triggered by something like ball lightning, because I did see a blue light and something zip through the sky, and then an illumination coming from this large object. I just wondered if it's ever considered any, you know, other explanations than it being a spaceship.
Yeah, actually, we've got Michael Persinger, who he theorizes exactly that for some cases.
Oh, yeah.
In connection with the Earth lights, which is theorized to be a lot of EM generated by tectonic plate activity and so on, could theoretically affect a person's mind.
So
can you tell us more about what a fugue state is? Because I think some people have heard it, but we don't really understand it. What actually happens to a person when they go into a fugue state?
One thing here, we got about a minute before we break. Go ahead, Nigel.
Okay. We'll just go into, I suppose some people have called it an outer state of reality. So it could be cut off, all the senses are kind of cut off, and then things are going on in the mind. And, detached from reality. It's a bit like hypnagogic and hypnopompic hallucinations, which happen in the phases between going to sleep and waking up. Your brain doesn't acknowledge outside stimuli and makes up things. And so you can have quite realistic experiences of things, even though they're not physically there. A kind of hallucination, I suppose. And Jenny Randall's has also called this a Oz factor, whereas people have seen UFOs would seem to go into a completely different zone of reality where you can't hear birds singing or everything seems to come to a stop. And so that the Oz factor might be something like a fugue state as well. I think there's quite a lot in, you know, psychological literature to kind of look up and perhaps relate to UFO-type experiences.
We've got a lot more to talk about here. Abductions and other things. Nigel Watson, Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy, you're in.
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Classic science fiction at its best. Available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And a crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.